Time to recap McCook's School Board of Education meeting for the month of November. In our studios this morning, Superintendent of Schools Grant Norgaard. How you been?
Doing very well. Thank you, Rich.
Thanksgiving next week. Hard to believe, huh?
Yes, it's we're at the first part of the semester is going very rapidly, but that's always the case. Fall is a quick month, and so we're zipping right through things.
Yes, indeed. Let's get to the agenda from last night. We'll start first. Reports, communications, public participation?
We did not have any public participation at last night's board meeting. Did have some guests from the Southwest Leadership Institute, and that's always nice to have folks in the audience, and it's part of their developing leadership program. They attend board meetings and city council meetings, so we did have some folks there, but no comments.
Report from the FFA on their recent trip to the National Convention.
Yeah, we had a group of students. We had Reese Gillespie, Brayston Hawkswell, Taylor Ruggles, Jackson Blumstead, Paige Witt, Cadence Magnuson, Kay Sinwa, and Braylon Gale all came in and gave us kind of a rundown of that awesome trip that they take. Almost, I think it's every other year, trip to the National Conference in Indianapolis for FFA. Great group of kids, talked about what they did. They compete at a high level. But some of the other things they get to do, they get to travel around. They get to go to the Kentucky Derby. They listen to motivational speakers. They receive training on entrepreneurism and business development. They actually engage them in problem solving. So they'll maybe have a pick out a business, and then the organizers will give them problems to solve, like you would face if you were really opening up your own business. They do scavenger hunts. Of course, they work on parliamentary procedure, and there's parliamentary procedure competitions. They also have an opportunity to develop public speaking skills. One of the interesting things they did, they went to a really nice restaurant. I suppose, I don't know if it's five star. I don't eat at these places, but the kids got to go to a really nice restaurant where they have really great service. You know, the kids talked about how the waiter was standing beside the table, and when they take a drink of the of water and they put their glass back down, they'd come over and fill it right away. So they had this opportunity to have a really fine dining experience, which I think is a really neat experience for those kids. I need to sponsor this maybe so I can have this experience at some point.
Maybe you need to go in 2 years with them.
That's right, maybe. It's a great opportunity for our kids here in McCook to, first of all, they really get to network with other Nebraska students, our FFA members. When they go to Indianapolis, Nebraska stays basically in one hotel all together. So all the kids from Nebraska really have a chance to get to know each other. When I asked them what their favorite part of the trip was, it was that networking piece. And one of the topics that came up repeatedly from the kids was they have this opportunity to go to a dance with other Nebraska students and build real friendships and relationships with other kids from across the state. Of course, there's kids from across the nation at this event. They get to meet kids from across the country. But though, who our young folk are really going to deal with as they get older are other kids in the state of Nebraska mostly. And so that's a great experience for them to develop those relationships and build those friendships. And of course, FFA is an outstanding program. And they're just getting into the heart of their year. They're going to start, a lot of competitions are coming up for the kids, and they're going to work on those skill sets, judging, speaking, parliamentary procedures, something I already mentioned. So it's a great program, and it was a great experience for our folks. Or our kids.
Yeah, and what an experience. And it says every 2 years?
Yeah, I think we go about, I think it's every 2 years. Okay. At least every 2 years we attend that event. In that way the kids can go twice in their high school experience if they qualify to go to that event. So it's a great experience for our kids, and I'm really glad we get to send our kids up there.
A computer science presentation.
Yeah, we also had a presentation that was put together by Mrs. Tina Williams, and she's basically our technology instructional coordinator. So she really, the focus of her job is working with teachers on technology and how to incorporate technology into the classroom as an educational tool, something that enhances our teachers' instructional skill sets. And And so one of the things she really wanted to show off to the board was programming. She's been doing a lot of work, especially at the elementary and at the junior high, working with teachers on developing programming skills in kids. And someone was like, well, how do you develop programming at the elementary level? Well, it's an elementary level of programming. It's very basic, but really they're kind of teaching kids how to think critically, conceptually about commands that they give to an electronic device, and then that electronic device follows those commands, and then they get to actually apply it, see if the commands that they, what they intended, turned into commands, if it turns into the actions that they wanted. And so they have computer programs that do that. They also have these little robots that they can sort of give these programs to the robots, and they can put it down on the ground and see if it followed their plan. It might be to go through a maze or follow lines or those types of things. And so it's really kind of an interesting program, and it's really a neat program because, like I said, it gets kids to think conceptually. It's different, it's outside the box, and it's developing intellectual skill sets that we work on in other areas, but it's another way of enhancing those intellectual skill sets. So great program. We also had Mr. Dagnan from the junior high was part of that presentation, sort of a part one and a part two here. Mrs. Williams worked with Mr. Dagnan. They ordered some robotic kits, and there's these robots. And again, we go into programming and also electronics here a little bit. There's wiring involved, and correct wiring is critical for these robots that they're building to work. And then the assembly piece of it. You have to build the robots because it's all parts and pieces. And they have to put these together. And there's a couple different ways. There's remote control, and then there's a programming control for these. So they're kind of taking these steps right now. They're in the remote control process, and they're going to be working towards the programming process where these robots will actually just follow programs that the kids give them. And so they were able to show off these robots. Basically, they're wheeled machines that they can control, that they've all built themselves. And I think back on the old Erector sets, and if you could think of like a super awesome, well-made Erector set, that's kind of what this is. They're really finely tuned Erector sets, and they have a really, really nice components, and the kids get to build these devices and interact with them. And then you can be really creative with this. So we were asking, and we had who were presented, Allison McCarty and Psalm Frank were the two students from the junior high that were presenting. And Psalm was over with the group that I was working with specifically, kind of like in a little bubble around him, and asking him all kinds of questions. You know, what skills did you develop? Where do you think you'll go next with this? Those types of things. And he had great answers for all of those things, and he's really looking forward to those next stages of programming. Talked about some of the issues that they ran into with the construction of it and the problem solving that they had to put into place to solve those issues. It was a great presentation. It was an opportunity for the board members to see how our students are being engaged in STEM activities and creative activities and conceptual thinking activities. And so really appreciate Mrs. Williams bringing that forward and Mr. Dagnan working with these kids and the kids themselves, a couple groups of kids that are working on these robots. And so really great presentation, and really appreciate them showing up.
Any public comments after that?
Nope, no public comments last night.
Student board member report?
One of the things that the student council is really focusing on for the upcoming year, or right now, I'm sorry, all year long, this goes all year long, but right now they're really working on their student safety behind the wheel. So we have our wearing your seatbelt program. We've been doing this for a number of years. They've really got kind of a heavy focus on this up until the Thanksgiving break, which is next week. So it's coming up really quick, and just how they're getting out and doing a special program and educating kids and interacting with the kids at the high school. And then, of course, this does, it's a heavy dose right now of safety behind the wheel, but this program actually goes throughout the course of the school year. So there'll be other points in time during the school year when the kids will have different activities that involve safety behind the wheel, and there'll be different activities to remind kids to buckle up and to obey the speed limit and make sure you're following all the safety rules. And this program's really, I think, been quite effective over the years, and so we really appreciate the kids doing all this work, and Mrs. Bloomy for all the work she does with these kids from Student Council.
Approving the consent agenda, minutes, financials, approval expenditures, payroll, and then reports from staff members and committees?
Yeah, we have a couple of committee reports. Now, negotiations has just begun, and that's our first committee report. It's a really brief report, and basically all I can say, because the bulk of this conversation goes into something later in the agenda, which is our executive session, our closed session. But basically, the negotiations process has begun, and that the array has been established. And the array is the set of schools. There's 11 schools in an array, including us, that we compare ourselves to. And these schools are of like size, and they're as close in proximity as we can get. And so some of these schools get, we get out as far as Sydney, but we try to keep the schools, and this is by state statute, you keep them as close as you can, and they have to be about the same size. And so what we do in this array, when we identify the array, you put your staff into each of these other 10 schools' pay schedule, and you kind of find a midpoint. And so you find out if you're within, you have to be in with 2 percentages of that midpoint. You can't fall below 98% of that. Otherwise, you're forced to get to midpoint. And so that's what that array is for. It's a comparability study that basically pushes schools towards a pay package or a salary package. And then also what was shared at that point was that we have more meetings in the immediate future coming up. I believe the next we've had two, and the next meeting is next Tuesday morning. So we'll have three here before you know it. So that process is ongoing. And then the other committee report was from the construction manager at risk meeting. Okay, so there was a committee that had three board members on it, three committee members on it, two administrators from the school district, and then the engineer architect that we're working with for the junior high school bond project. Of course, this project is mostly a junior high bond that we're looking at, a replacement for the academic areas. And then it also includes the high school because we're looking at a new performing arts center auditorium with new industrial tech spaces for all our woods, all of our electronics, all of our ag, and then also performing arts for music and choir. So it does include a portion of the high school that would be remodeled or that would be in the new junior high building. Now, I'll just a reminder, currently industrial tech and those are in the junior high, so that's why they're part of the project as well. And so just talked a little bit about, we had two companies that responded to a request for proposals, two big companies that do a lot of schools, a lot of big construction. One of them was Houseman, and the other one was Sampson. And we're really excited that those two companies were interested in it. We knew when we had those two, we would have a good company working on our school. So those proposals were went through by this committee, and they were looked at, and then those were submitted about a month ago, and the board gave the board time to look through their proposals, and then we had an interview process, and so that was last week. And through the interview process, both of those companies had to give a presentation to the board to the board committee, the community committee members, and the engineer and architect, and the staff members that were involved, and they had to answer some questions. And so that it was about a 5-hour process. Both of these companies interviewed separately, it wasn't at the same time with the committee. And some of the questions that we were looking at or asking both companies were, what will the proposed budget be adequate to cover the costs of the building project? We asked them all to provide a construction schedule in detail and what steps they would take throughout the project to ensure that we meet that schedule. We asked them how they were going to prioritize the selection of subcontractors, which is very important for a construction manager at risk. How many are we going to be able to select local subcontractors? How will you handle the planning of the project and making sure that difficult to obtain materials are on site in a timely manner? That's an important question right now. I've had a lot of experience in the last few years with HVAC and even playground equipment. There's a wait list. There's a backlog of trying to get some of these materials. It slows down every project we're in. So we had to ask questions about what's your plan for addressing that? And what is your plan for managing the construction site? And we also wanted to know, we asked them to explain how their fees worked, how they as the company basically hiring the subcontractors, how are they going to manage and how do their fees impact the overall costs? And so it was a really great session. Both groups did an amazing job. Once the two presentations were done, the committee members, this combined committee, discussed the two companies. And it was a tough decision because both companies were so well-liked and they both did such a good job. At the end of the day, the focus of this conversation came down to kids in the classroom. We wanted to have as little disruption to the kids' day as possible. So a lot of the discussion afterwards focused on that. And one of the companies had a considerably shorter calendar for the build. They said they could get it done considerably quicker. And that company also said that they could have the cost could be lower as well, or projected that the cost would be lower as well. So that was a company that, and I don't know how each individual member of that committee voted or why, but I do know that that's kind of where the discussion focused on when the committee was talking. And at the end of the day, Samson was rated number one out of those two companies. And so Samson will be the company, was the company that was approved. And this is later on in the agenda. I'm getting ahead of myself maybe a little bit. That's the company that's approved by the Board of Education last night to work with as our construction manager at risk. And so we're in a good spot now. We're ready to start building that relationship with Samson. And I think people around McCook are probably fairly familiar with Samson. They've actually done quite a bit of work here. They're currently working on the college campus. They just finished a project at the hospital. They just finished a project at Farm Credit Bureau. I know they did the city building. They did McCook Elementary. So a lot of experience with Samson, and they've done a great job. So we feel real comfortable moving forward with Samson and excited about getting in now, I guess, getting into the nitty-gritty, so to speak, of design and cost estimates. Because, you know, engineers do a great job. Architects do the best job they can with the cost estimates. But the construction managers are the ones that have to actually hire the subcontractors and order the materials. So we're going to be able to hone in on what those costs are more exactly here in the next couple of months.
Any other superintendent's comments there?
Yes. Let me pull my report up. I started off with, we had a great week last week, and we ended the week on Friday with great celebrations across the district. At every building, we honored our veterans and had an activity celebrating their service to our country and showing them that we love them and care about them and respect them and appreciate all the work that they've done for our country. I was able to participate in the high school presentation. What an awesome job our kids did, singing our national anthems and our military service songs. They did an amazing job. Mr. Smock was the sort of our master of ceremonies, did an absolutely outstanding job demonstrating our respect to our veterans that were in attendance. We had an opportunity to honor those individuals and recognizing those that came to the event for all the work that they've done to make our country safe and free. And so, and I know these events, we had programs at the elementary, we had breakfast at like Central, they had a drone. I think the drone footage from the junior high was put out on social media. So every building did a big event for Veterans Day. Next, I talked a little bit about recruiting. We're constantly in a recruiting phase anymore in education. It's just a change that has occurred with the decline in the number of individuals available to come into open vacancies across the state and across the nation. We need teachers. There's just a shortage of teachers, so we have to be very aggressive. And so I just gave them a rundown. And since the last board meeting, we've been to Northern Colorado, Hastings College and Hastings, and also Wayne State, way up in the north. Northeast of the state, and I commented a little bit about Wayne State as a kind of a teacher's college, a lot of kids there, and talked to a lot of kids, although a lot of them don't know where McCook is, to be quite honest with you. So it's tough to pull. Northern Colorado maybe didn't have as many kids to talk to as we hoped to, and Hastings College I heard was also a good event for those that attended that. So just talked a little bit about that and how we'll continue to be aggressive in the recruiting fields, trying to bring in kids to work in McCook Public Schools from Nebraska and from the surrounding states. Talked a little bit about the NSCAS data. NSCAS is the state assessment, and that data has been released to the school districts, and I told the board that we've done well, but our scores cannot be shared yet. However, it's going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks. Usually November, the Department of Education releases that data. It's always a little later than they say they're going to, so they'll probably tell me it's coming out on Friday, and it'll be then the next Wednesday or something, but that should be coming out soon. Don't be surprised if that data is released. Once it's released, we'll have sort of some comments and follow-ups. One of the things I did say to the board is we've had a chance to see our classifications. We actually contacted NDE to sit down with them to discuss how those classifications were established and just so we better understand where we are and how to get to the next classification up. We're always looking for opportunities to improve. And so that was a good conversation. I wanted the board to be aware of that. I also told the board that teacher evaluation should be done by December 7th. The building level principals have been directed to do that. And, of course, this is for probationary teachers. Those are teachers that have been hired within the last three school years. And then also talked about our safety inspections have been completed. We hire an individual to come in and do safety inspections, and there's two inspections. There's an insurance inspection, and there's also a Rule 10 safety inspection, which is Rule 10 is the rule that governs accreditation. And that report now has been, we have received it. The safety team at the school is going to go over that and review that and talk about its recommendations, and then we're going to share that report with the Board of Education. And also I talked a little bit about a water main break that we had at the high school, and it's caused us a little bit of consternation. And Mr. Gross gets into this in more depth, so when I do his report, I'll probably talk about that a little bit more. And then State School Boards Conference is this week, and State School Boards Conference is an outstanding conference. It truly is a professional growth opportunity for board members across the state. I would say it's my opinion that the School Boards Conference is the best conference in education in the state of Nebraska, because they just do a great, it's the combination of Nebraska school administrators with the State Board of Education, or the State Boards Association, I guess I should say, combining forces and bringing in great talent. They have great learning opportunities, professional development opportunities. They have great legal advice. It's truly a great conference, and so I'm looking forward to that basically the rest of this week with the board members that are going to be able to attend. And that's all I've got in my report.
That was a heck of a report there.
Sure.
Business manager comments now.
Yeah, over 16,000 meals were served in the month of September. And so, October. And so that's quite a bit of lunches that we served and breakfasts. Revenues are right on course with expenditures. Of course, expenditures are always a little bit higher in the fall because all of the dues and all of the, well, there's a lot of things we have to pay for in fall. So fall is probably our most expensive year, but we're right on course. It's not out of ordinary when we do a comparison from this year to years past. We're doing well. The audit of our audit has been completed, and the books have been sent, and we've gave them to the board. So there will be a finance committee meeting in the next month, and then we'll probably look to approve the audit at the December board meeting. Tennis and tennis restrooms and concession area, that's that building that's right beside the tennis courts and next to the track. A lot of the work, we're almost done. We've got all the landscaping basically done. Got the irrigation in. We've got the drainage in. We just need to finish up some painting, and then probably we need to install the fixtures for the restrooms and the cabinets and the concession area. So we're really close. I really think that should be done here in the next few weeks. It really should be. I suppose it depends a little bit on if the contractors can get in there. They've got a lot of work going on, and we don't need it technically until track and tennis starts up in the spring, but that should be getting done pretty soon. And then also a report that there are, if you've been to the high school, you've been in our restrooms by the basketball court, you see they were remodeled a few years ago and they look pretty sharp. And for those of you that are around, if you ever remember the old restrooms, they were pretty awful. Well, we've saved a couple of restrooms. There's a couple of restrooms in the building that have never been touched, and they're still the old, I don't even know, they're just awful. Anyway, they are going to be done this winter. And so the last two remaining restrooms at the high school that are from the 50s building, the 50s portion of the building, will be completely updated. And they're small projects. So that's kind of why we put them on the back burner a little bit. And then after that, we're going to be going on to updating common spaces and hallways and those types of places. So at some point, this is probably going to take several years, but hope to get drop ceilings in the main hallways in the high school and drywall on the walls, you know, and either we're going to wrap the lockers, maybe we'll remove some of those lockers because kids just don't, believe it or not, just don't use lockers anymore, but wrap the lockers or buy new lockers for the high school. So that's kind of the next stage for the high school and keeping it up to date and looking really nice. So those are on the docket, but the next stage, the next phase are these two bathrooms at the high school, and we'll be doing that this during these winter months. Then we'll go back to our water main. So Jeff talked at length about we had several things had happened to cause us some interest in what was happening. Jeff and our high school assistant principal Jake Kroll noticed a crack in the drywall in his office. It was kind of the first indicator that something's going on at the high school with the structure. And then we received some calls about the state of the gym floor. And then Mr. Imus actually brought it to my attention too, simultaneously. So it sort of just kind of popped up overnight. And that's kind of weird, right? Unless there's a reason for that. Anyway, so I went and looked at the gym floor. And I had looked at the gym floor before the season started. It's not a brand new gym floor, but it was a fine, plain surface. Well, when I went into it, went into the gym after receiving those calls and contact from Mr. Imus, I noticed that the gym floor had changed since the summer before the school year started. The boards had warped a little bit. They've had a little bit of a curve and a cup, and they've been needed to be addressed, but this was significantly more than what I'd noticed in the summer. And so that was another indicator. And then we got a water notification from the city saying, hey, you're using a lot more water than you have been normally. Okay, so this all starts to make sense, right? We have a leak somewhere in our system. And so we had to go in. There's tunnels, a labyrinth of tunnels underneath the high school, and they're small spaces. And they're full of pipes and tubes and all kinds of things. So we had to send a staff member into those and to just basically hunt down, you know, look, we didn't know for sure, but to look for a leak. And we found it. We found a leak in the main water line coming into the high school, and it had been leaking for about 4 to 6 weeks possibly. And so we had that fixed, but called in Vols. Thank goodness they were able to come in and take care of it, sort of an emergency situation for us, and got it fixed. I know it had been running for a long time, but it was still an emergency. Once you find it, you want to get that leak stopped as soon as possible. And now we're in the process of dealing with the aftermath of lots of water going into the soil around the high school and getting into the concrete and causing the gym floor to kind of curl more than it normally does. So this is a big insurance claim we're going to have to wait 6 to 9 months for all the settling to finish off. We've had engineers come in and look at it. Wait till it's done settling, then settle with the insurance company. But there's going to have to be some drywall redone. They're going to have to do some core sampling. They're going to drill holes and take some soil samples, and that'll give us an indication of how long it might be before we do that and what type of issues we're dealing with also. The insurance company came in and looked at our gym floor, and so that's going to have to be replaced. And that'll most, I believe, we believe most, maybe all of those costs will be covered by our insurance claim. So anyway, water mains causes some issues, but we've got it stopped. We've got sensors now throughout our labyrinth of tunnels, these water sensors that put out a very high pitch sort of scream. I mean, it's pretty annoying. So I was like, did we test it? Did we listen to see if we can hear it through the floor? Anyway, so we've got those out all throughout. In case this happens again, we notice it much sooner. One thing we did do with the gym floor is we brought in Mark, a company, Mr. Pokeup, came in, and we sanded down those edges and kind of scraped off some of those of that buckling spots. We finished it. It turned out very well. I'm really surprised. It's in much, much better shape, and I'm glad it's a good floor. It'll be a good floor for this year. It'll be fine. But it, you know, you can still see if you look across it, you can still see there's still just a little bit of curl to those floorboards. So it's going to need to be replaced. But I'm really thankful to Mark for coming in and taking care of that. Mr. Pokeup coming in and taking care of that and getting the gym floor ready for another season. And look forward to a lot of work that'll probably have to start in March because that's probably when we're going to want to address it as soon as possible. And due to the amount of work that's going to be involved, because we have an old subfloor underneath that maple wood, we have to bring in skid loaders and basically scrape it all out. In the 1950s, they don't do that anymore. So we have to put a new performance floor in. It's going to be a lot of work. And it's going to be a lot more work than a normal gym. Once this is done, it won't be as much work. Once we have the new performance floor put in, future replacements, 30, you know, I don't think there'll be another one personally, but if there are, it'll be much easier for the school system to put it in. Actually, that gym probably be around for a long time, to be quite honest with you.
Got
to
yank the bleachers out too, don't you?
Yeah, I think they have to yank the bleachers out. They're gonna have to take, like I said, skid loaders, scrape off like this layer of concrete and 2x4s that are like webbed together, and then pour new concrete and then put this performance floor in. And it'll be a much better floor to play on once it's done, because our floors like playing on wood on top of concrete. The new floors, they have more give. And so the kids, they don't get the shin splints and those types of things that maybe would be common with the way we used to build floors for decades and decades. But of course, when I was at Lee, we played at, I'm sure Why Not's changed their floor by now, but they played on top of that tile, just the, you know, those little fiberglass or asbestos tiles. I don't think they were asbestos, but that's a pretty hard floor. So it's not as bad as that, but these new floors are much more forgiving, and they give you a little bit more spring, from what I understand as well. So maybe we'll have some more awesome dunks. Although I've seen a few good ones in there.
So we're talking about late spring, summer project.
Yeah, huh? Late spring, summer. It'll take a while.
And it's not cheap either.
It's not cheap. So maybe a blessing in disguise with the insurance coming in to at least take care of a large portion of the cost. And that would summarize the business manager's report.
Board member comments?
Just that we have the conference coming up. And that negotiations meeting next Tuesday, and there's that my evaluations forms were in front of all the board members for the December meeting.
Couple of things on new business.
We had a couple of things. One of them we tabled. We actually tabled the purchase of a new bus. We're going to go back, resubmit some information to the bus companies, and also I want to collect some hard data from my bus drivers on their preferences concerning buses. So I got to put together like a little survey and ask them, which bus company do you prefer? The bus bids are so close that, we're talking within a few $100s, that I want to make sure that if there's I want to have evidence for sure, not just hearsay, but evidence from the bus drivers that we prefer this bus over the other bus. We prefer this engine over the other engine. So I want to get that from the bus drivers and the mechanics, and then that'll help us. It helped me make a confident recommendation to the Board of Education. So we put that off for another month. And then we did review our bullying prevention policy. That's something we do annually. Bullying prevention policy is a policy we put in place to address any bullying and the consequences and that follow for students that are doing that type of activity, and just make sure that we have a policy in place to protect kids. Then the last item that we had as an action item was the approval. I guess I've already just talked about it, but the approval of the construction manager at risk. And so the board did take the recommendation from that committee that I talked about earlier and did approve a contract, going into contract with Samson to be our construction manager at risk. And that finalizes all the action items, I think.
Yes, takes us right up to positive comments.
Right, positive comments. Start off with Johnny Frank. We are the one really is excited about this year. He really feels like the students have really bonded with the motto that we are one. And what he's noticed around the school is that kids in every activity are supporting other kids in other activities. There's no animosity between different groups. They're all supporting each other. They're showing up for each other's events, and they're taking pride in activities that they themselves might not be involved in. They're proud of their peers, basically, mm-hmm. is what I'm saying. Teresa wanted to thank all the schools for the Veterans Day assemblies, and says there's a lot of positive comments that she's heard about them. Tom talked about the Board of Education and thanked the district for supporting the professional growth opportunities and the board members for participating in the professional growth opportunities, such as this conference this week. And also wanted to thank the schools for the veteran activities and also the press that we've received from the different organizations like the Gazette. And then Scott wanted to echo thankfulness to the schools and their supportive attitude towards the veterans. And he also thanked members of the community for helping with the bond issue thus far. So we've had several different committees that have come together from the community members giving up their evenings to come in and talk about this junior high school bond project or building project, and really appreciates all the support that we've been receiving with people willing to give us advice and give us feedback. Mike wanted to give kudos to the two groups that presented to the school board that night. We had the FFA, and we also had the technology kids and teachers, and just really excited about new projects and bringing programming and robotics into our classrooms in McCook. Jeff said that he was at a conference last week with the Community Foundation and Community Fund Foundation, and said it was a great conference. He said to me it was one of the best conferences he'd ever been in. And he also commented that we have the YRC student group that went to that conference, and he said they did an amazing job. He was super proud of those young folks who presented at the conference and who were participating in the conference. They shared their stories with other communities from across the from across Nebraska, and they shared how and it was easy to see how that group, that YRC group, YCR group, has impacted McCook in a positive way. Brad commented on the student body and how well they represented our school around the community and our community around the state and nation. So we've had the FFA, and we've had the YICR group, and we've had all these different groups, and they've really represented us well. The other piece is mine. This is the last one. I wanted to thank Jake Curl for taking the FFA members to the National Convention in Indianapolis. Mrs. Hoxwell couldn't make it. I talked about the water leak and the labyrinth of tunnels underneath the high school, not everyone can get down in those tunnels. But we do have someone on staff, and I want to thank him specifically, Casey McGuire. He's left the high school. And so he spent an entire day crawling around on his hands and knees and belly at times, going around. And it was the very last tunnel that he went into at the end of the day. They thought, well, we don't know. He thought there's no leak. And he found it in the very last tunnel. And when he found it, he's like, it's leaking bad. Mm-hmm. And so I want to thank Casey for being that person that we can count on to get down in there, because not everyone can get through there, but Casey does. And you could say no, but he goes down there willingly. And if you're claustrophobic, probably not a great place to be. So thank you to Casey and Jake.
Of course, there's a pool underneath.
Absolutely.
The old pool underneath the gym floor.
That old pool underneath the gym floor in the high school that we only tell kids existed. Mm-hmm. So if all the parents just keep them thinking that that's true. It's not true, but
there's not a pool there.
There's not a pool there.
Really?
No.
I thought there was too. I thought there was.
But don't tell your kids, because okay, they think there's a pool down there. And no, there's not a pool. And that's going to be found out this summer when we put the skid loaders on there and we're in March, not this summer, in March. The kids are going, hey, there's no pool under there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's not. It'd be cool if there was, though, right?
Somebody take some pictures.
It's a wonderful life.
Right.
That floor is pretty
neat. How about
Maybe
that?
We'll have one installed. No, I'm kidding. We won't.
You brought it up.
Well, maybe we'll tell the kids we're installing.
That's right. That's right. Once again, next meeting for the month of December is going to be what date?
December 11th.
December 11th, right before Christmas break will be upon us pretty soon.
Yeah, not too far away.
All right. Well, you did have a lot. You had a heck of an agenda last night. Wow. Yeah,
good agenda.
Yeah. Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you very much, Rich.
Superintendent of Schools Grant Norgaard with a recap of a busy agenda from November in McCook Public Schools.